The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Prepare the Lord's way. That's what John was doing beside the Jordan at a wilderness crossroads. Preparing the Lord's way. Preparing was necessary because, as St. Peter writes, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Everyone in John's day was just going about their lives as they always had, the same as we often do. No one knew the long-promised Messiah was in their midst. God had come to save his people from their sins, and his people were going on sinning as if he wasn't even there. Preparing was necessary because the Mighty One was in their midst, and his people weren't ready. As we heard in the reading from 2 Peter, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Now, obviously, that's not what happened when the Lord came in John's day. Leaving aside the hiccup of the flood, which only Noah and those with him in the ark survived, all things seem to be continuing as they have from the beginning of creation. The heavens are still up where they belong. We can see that everything hasn't dissolved, and many, many of the works done on the earth remain hidden. Thus, many of the things you've said and done, not to mention thought, things of which you're ashamed, things which you'd be mortified to have exposed, remain hidden. But they won't be hidden forever, Peter writes. The day is coming when they will all be exposed. And not only that, all your earthly possessions, all that you've worked and saved and borrowed to acquire, all of these things will be burned up and dissolved. Isn't that a cheery thought? But that's Peter's point. A crisis is coming. It may come yet this afternoon, perhaps in a week or two, maybe next year, or 1,000 years from now. But make no mistake, a crisis is coming. And even if it doesn't come in your lifetime, you won't have escaped it, because you'll still face the judgment, and there'll be no more preparing in the grave. Since all these things, the heavens and the earth and all that they contain, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be? People, Peter says, living lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. That's what it looks like when you're preparing the Lord's way, when you're preparing the way the Lord would have you prepare. He wants you to be diligent, wants you to be found in Him without spot or blemish and at peace. That's precisely the message that was revealed to Isaiah as well, what he was given to proclaim. The voice in the wilderness was to call people to prepare the Lord's way and make straight paths for Him by proclaiming, "All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." In other words, there's only one thing that's permanent: the Lord and His word. The wages of sin is death. That means you're going to die. The Lord has spoken, and His word is certain. Thus John came preparing the Lord's way by proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And the one whose way John prepared liked that message so much that he said exactly the same thing as he began his ministry. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, which means recognize your sin for what it is. Know you deserve God's wrath for what you've done, what you keep on doing, and for all those things you keep failing to do. Stop loving what God hates. Stop accepting what He condemns. Stop embracing what He would have you cast away. Have the mind of Christ, the mind with which God is well pleased, the mind which refuses the evil and chooses the good. In other words, repent. Change the way you think and act. That's what those who were coming out to John in the wilderness did. He proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And those who acknowledged their sinfulness, who confessed that they were indeed sinners, were baptized by him in the River Jordan. But notice that John's message wasn't only, "You're a sinner. You've earned God's wrath. You're going to die, and you deserve to go to hell." He did indeed say those things. But he also proclaimed the forgiveness of sins, forgiveness that was conveyed and received in the baptism of repentance. This forgiveness is what creates in you the spotless, unblemished life of which St. Peter wrote. Forgiveness that brings peace with God. It's the reason the way preparer of whom Isaiah prophesied was not given to say only, "Your grass destined for fire," but also, "Comfort. Comfort my people," says your God. "Your warfare is ended. Your iniquity is pardoned. The Lord has twice as much forgiveness for you as you have sins against him." That's truly an amazing message. But rejoice in it, because it's true. Whatever you've done, and all that you've left undone, the blood of Jesus Christ covers it all and blots it out entirely. In Christ, by his life of perfect obedience
and in his innocent suffering and death. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And that means he doesn't count your trespasses against you. The glory of the Lord has been revealed. A glory not simply of the splendor of God's holiness and the awesomeness of his might, but a glory of his mercy and grace and steadfast love. How much love? Love so great that God stretched out his arms and died for you on a cross. Died so that his righteousness could become yours, because your sin was counted against him. This is the greatest glory of God, that in love he made it possible for his perfect righteousness and holiness to become yours, even though by nature there was nothing good in you, that is, in your flesh. It's true, the word of our God will stand forever. But that's really great news. For his word is not only, O wicked one, you shall surely die, but in Christ also, your sins are forgiven you. Go in peace. This is what makes the proclamation, Behold your God, not a word of terror or dread, but of good news. For those who have been prepared the Lord's way, those who have been crushed by his law and cried out in repentance, God be merciful to me, a sinner, they have nothing to fear. When the Lord comes again with might, you will not know shame and everlasting contempt. Oh, the scriptures are clear that there will be those who are condemned on that day. But you will not be among them, for you and for all who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, all who have trusted in Christ and his righteousness for them, the word will instead become you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. On that day you will receive the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Then the Lord, the shepherd and overseer of your soul, will, as Isaiah puts it, tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Which is very much the picture of that day revealed to St. John. The lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is certainly a consummation devoutly to be wished. And so the voice from the wilderness, urgently calling you and me to prepare the Lord's way, continues to resonate in our hearts and in our lives. And once again we join in the Advent prayer of God's people. Come, Lord Jesus, stir up your power and come. Rescue us from the threatening perils of our sins. Save us by your mighty deliverance. And stir up our hearts to prepare your way and serve you with pure minds. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please pause. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.